Blog Talk Radio.
Can we pretend that airplanes in the night sky are like shooting stars? I can really use a wish right now, wish right now, wish right now. Can we pretend that airplanes in the night sky are like shooting stars? I can really use a wish right now, wish right now, wish right now.
Bye. Yo, I'm already grown, but it's hard to be like the man that I've never known. It's hard to change a picture of this man that I've grown, but I open up my arms like welcome to my home. Well, at least that's what I tell them, but before I say bye, the niggas already gone. So I take them on my heart, but I store them in my phone. I don't really need them, but my sister's feeling all alone. Yeah, and it's the same old song. The only time he calls is when he asking for a loan. I always say yeah, cause I love him and I'm strong. But I hate the fact he only say he love me on the phone. And I've done this on my own, I've become my own man, and you can write that on my stone. I put that on my sons, well, should I say my clones? And my daughters need their fathers so they'll never be alone. I did this shit right, cause he only showed me wrong. And I just snatched it off my chest and then I placed it on the throne. Before I noticed the pain, the memory is gone. My kids took away my kids, but placed me on the throne. Now I'm in my zone, her old school feel like the 64 Apollo or the 83 Brome. A nigga still smile when the memory is gone, but a nigga still cry if I think about my mom. And that's a whole nother story. Try to visualize the past, but this shit is kinda blurry. The brown paper bags and you touching on the 40. I'm touching on the promise, gotta lie to my sister. My brother need his father, but he turned to his brother. So I turned to the street to take the pressure off my mother. I did this for my kids, nieces, nephews, and my cousins. But before they feel my pain, man, fuck it, I will suffer. Cause I'm a little tougher, raised by the gutter, Louisville slugger. Thanks to my moms, and I swear I really love her. And I love my pops the same, and I say that no stutter. But now I'm getting older, my pops is getting older, but he thinks he's getting younger. I put the bullshit aside and place it in my folder. Well, leave it where it's at and take the pressure off my shoulders and them demons off my back. My head's all clear, my kids getting bigger. My pops starting to feel like he's more like my nigga. My sister's starting to feel like I'm more like a father. My brother had a daughter, and I'm just being me for my grown man issue. Your life is moving fast, a lot of tears and no tissue. Nobody on your side when your cash is the issue. Or when you crash and the pressure of a smash don't kill you. But they say but don't kill you make you stronger. A marriage gone bad, it's like living in a coma. No signs are getting better, but we scared to pull the plug. We just living in the moment, or maybe it's the love. Well, the love is our kids, and my eyes won't lie, so I hide them with my lid. I deal with the drama, I can walk away from them. Cause if I walk away from them, then I'm walking out their life. And if I'm walking out their life, then I'm making room for him. And it's no working out, it's all weight with no gym. Yeah, and maybe that's my best move. Sketch out the rest of my life like a cartoon. My new chick must have knocked her off a pedestal. Cause child support, sell a checkmate like a chess move. But here I stand, my reflection show a hell of a man. And let's pretend that
airplanes in the night sky like shooting stars. I can really use a wish right now, wish right now, wish right now.
Yeah, what's up, everybody? This your boy, K. Diddy, the Licks of Love, coming to you live right here on I Am Indy. Today, what day it is it? Y'all know what day it is, hump day. It's I Am Indy Day. We got a live show scheduled for you today. We have a very, very special guest today, a gentleman that's been in the industry 40-plus years, a good friend of mine, industry veteran, and all that good stuff. Just been very instrumental in breaking artists, all that you know, and help launch their careers, you know, from Snoop Dogg, T.I., Dr. Dre, Eazy-E, Lil Wayne, Wu-Tang, and on and on and on. Mr. Jay Wasinski. Let me see if he's in the building.
I'm right here. Thank you so much, Lamont.
Yeah, welcome. Welcome, my friend.
Good to join you. It's a great day to be independent.
Hey, ain't it, though? Should I say, isn't it? Should I say, isn't it though?
it's a great, great year, and I don't think there's been a better year in the last 30 to be an independent artist with all the great tools and, you know, great opportunities that are out there. You know, there's more competition, but more mm-hmm. tools. So those that are diligent and really get their team and plan together, it's a great, great time.
Wow. Well, let's walk them through the park, man, because some people don't even know what time it is today. They don't even know it's Wednesday. And I know you've been in the industry a long time, such as myself, back when there were actually one stops and record stores on every corner before the internet got to where it is today. And I know a lot of artists don't even realize the real part of it. So let's take them down that street, Jay. I know you could lay it out for them from the beginning to the end.
Well, no question. You know, I always say back in the, you know, the 70s and when I got heavily involved in the business, used to be a lot of labels, a whole lot of great labels. And there was very few artists that you actually knew of. You know, maybe you knew some down the street, but the national artists, you know, it was a finite number. I mean, you had your favorite funk bands or rock groups or singers or whatever they were. And the industry as a whole was maybe putting out 40 or 50 records a month combined. That might have been 4 from Capitol and 7 from Warner Brothers and 3 from MCA and whatever. Well, you know, now it's completely flipped, where rather than a lot of labels and a few finite artists, now there's very few labels of note, especially those that will develop an artist, and there's millions of artists. I mean, it's never been easier to record and upload your music and upload your video, hence the problem. Everybody's doing it. You know, there's a billion songs on iTunes. There's, you know, a million hours of content going up every few days on YouTube. There's, you know, it's harder and harder to stand out. So the internet, I always say, is one of the best and one of the worst things that ever happened. You know, it's fun to make an email and go on somebody's website and Google and whatever, but the fact of the matter is your competition has just been upped like 10 million times. So, you know, not to discourage anybody, but just know what you're up against. Because just because you're on iTunes doesn't mean you're going to sell anything. And just because you're on YouTube doesn't mean anybody's going to watch you. So it's really about, like it always has been, polishing just as you do in the studio. Great songs, great production. Of course it starts with that, but it doesn't end with that. You and I both know, everybody comes to us and says, you know, I got this great song, and we got this album, and got this video. Okay, well, what do you have to promote? Well, I got nothing to promote. Well, that's like spending all your money opening a store, and no one knows where you are or what you do, or you're not on a main street. You don't have, you know, people driving by. You're probably going to go out of business real quick. So, you know, it's really about utilizing the tools that are out there, and as more important, I always say, great music alone is maybe 10% of the way there. You know, the other 90% is that marketing and promotion and publicity and imaging and video and touring and, you know, not just getting on a stage, but leaving them with a lasting impression that you put on a hell of a show. And everybody's like telling a friend, like, man, you got to check these guys out. Next time they're in town, man, you got to come down and see this for yourself. These guys blew my head off, you know, and that isn't just getting up on stage and staring at your shoes and, you know, reciting somebody else's song. I mean, it's so competitive these days. You have to excel at songwriting production, no question. But good music alone, I always say the best artists in the world are probably in their basements or their bedrooms right now, and you'll never hear of them, because it's really about campaigning. And a lot of times with indie power, you know, we talk about putting together a campaign like you're running for president. And, you know, you might not be able to mount the campaign that Obama or Romney just did last go-round, but you better be thinking about a streamlined version of that. And that's kind of hitting the airwaves and hitting the streets and hitting retail and hitting, you know, the social media. You know, a lot of these artists today, they're the kings of Twitter. They got all these followers, but what are they following? I mean, there's no song that's really buzzing, and, you know, I mean, it's kind of senseless to be having, like I say, a big grand opening of a store, but you've got nothing on the shelf. There's really nothing that people want to buy. So I think it's really these days more than ever about getting your campaign, getting your team together, having a strategy. Yeah, you might only be working with a few dollars, or heaven forbid, don't quit your day job. I always hear these people calling and I ask them if they have a job just to see how serious they are about the business, and they say, no, I do music full time. And after I pick myself up off the floor, I say, how are you possibly doing that? Unless you're selling a lot of downloads and selling out a lot of shows, how possibly could you be making a living and able to grow your own business only by doing music at a very early stage?
Well, that was going to be my next question to you, because I get what a hit a lot of these artists, just like you mentioned. I mean, they come to us and they say they got all this great stuff, this, and this, but they haven't given no consideration, no attention to the promotions and marketing. But what they're really looking for is somebody else to believe in their dream. And I ask them all the time, how do you expect me to believe in your dream more than you believe in your own dream? They're not willing to do what you just mentioned, to go get that part-time job or go do that little extra, to invest in themselves, but they look for somebody else to do it, which really isn't happening no more.
Well, there's 24 hours in the day, and I remember when I came to L.A. after years in the business in 1980, I had to get up at 4 a.m. and work a telemarketing job from 6 a.m. to 11 so I could then go work for free from 11 to midnight every day at a couple other industry jobs, because even though I had been years in the radio and years in concert promotion and years as a player and a promoter, when I got to L.A., they said none of that mattered. What have you done in L.A.? I don't want to hear about what you did in Seattle or Dayton or Boise or Dallas. This is the big time, man. Unless you did it in L.A., it didn't count. So I realized right then that I was going to have to go show and prove, at the big boys, and I proved myself indispensable really quick. But I had to have that backup job. I had to kick ass and make some money every morning, pounding out, selling the toner or the printed pens or whatever you had to do to pay your rent. Because if I was just working for free at these other jobs, that wouldn't last too long. The landlord doesn't want to hear about your lofty ideas or your dreams. It's all about having a steady flow to be able to build your business. And unfortunately, I think a lot of these artists, they look at this old fantasy idea of, well, a record company's just going to discover me and they're going to give me a lot of money and I'm going to be rich and famous. And there's no business in the world that works like that. And there's no company that would give you an advance on anything that they didn't think was worth at least 50 or 100 times or more of what they're giving you. So just like in a publishing deal, do you think these companies want to write you a $50,000 check? They're doing that because they think you're probably worth $500,000 to $1 million. So anybody wants to give up that $500,000 to $1 million to get $50,000, they're already hustling backwards. I mean, some of the smartest people I know hung on to their publishing, went out, made something happen, had a hit song, and they've lived their entire life off licensing that hit song to movies and commercials and TV shows. And as long as you've had one legitimate hit, you could probably play clubs around the country, around the world, for the rest of your life. It may not be big arenas or big theaters, but I'm telling you, it's like Europe. They've always loved R&B and soul music and funk music and pop music. So if you had a hit at any point, there's probably a club in somewhere in Germany or France or Austria or Switzerland or Finland that will book you and pay you a decent wage to pack their club out, have everybody come down and sing along with your hit. In fact, you might have had another couple mild hits or that. I always said, I worked with Tina Turner on a Private Dancer album, her big comeback, and Tina lived on her European, shows in between the Ike and Tina Turner days back in the 60s and early 70s, and Private Dancer didn't hit till 1980-81. She kept herself alive by going to Europe and performing as Tina Turner from the Ike and Tina Turner Review, because they knew her and they loved her. And as we all know, ever since she became a superstar after Private Dancer, she's lived in Europe. She's retired in Europe. You know, she's got castles and, you know, servants galore over there. I mean, it's a great life. So, you know, it's really important to look at this realistically. It's not what you can take from the business, who's going to give you, you know, the advance and who's going to pay for this, but what you can do for yourself and what you can bring to the table. Because a lot of people go looking for sponsors like, well, who's going to give me a check? I need some money to pay for this tour. That's the wrong attitude. I mean, if I was the guy at the big corporation, you're coming to me saying, yeah, I need some money because we're going out on tour, I'd be like, man, sorry, I can't help you. But if you came to me and said, look, here's my fan base, here's what my sales are, here's my demographic, here's my impressions, here's what I can align your brand with, and if you could put in X number of dollars into this tour that we're doing, we will put your logo on every concert ticket, every flyer, we'll have a banner across the stage, we'll put your logo on the side of our van or our RV or tour bus. We will provide you this many of, you know, thousands or millions of impressions. Now all of a sudden, I'm looking at my cost per thousand. I'm actually looking possibly at making an expenditure because it's an investment for the company. But anybody just out there like, yeah, I need some money, you know, we need to get this and that. Who doesn't? Who doesn't need money? That's the wrong way to look at it.
So very true. So very true. So where is your company at now, and what are you looking to do now? I know you've broke artists and all these other good things. What are you doing now? Where is your passion at today?
Well, you know, I think it's where it's always been, and that's to grow creative entrepreneurs. And I think everybody these days should be looking at their business, their music, as their company. And rather than worry about, well, who's going to sign me, who's going to pay for these bills, you want to be as self-sufficient as possible. So what we do is we look at helping people grow their business. So whether you're an individual singer or rapper or you're a band or a group of some kind, you know, start to really break it down and act like a business, you know. Who's the CEO? Who's the treasurer? Who's gonna, you know, divvy up with the club owner at the end of the night? You know, who's going to handle the social media and the advertising? You know, when you're on those long rides between Cincinnati and Chicago, who is the guy that can fix the van if it breaks down? Who's the guy that's in charge of the merchandising and counts the shirts every time you go into a club and come out of a club? You know, who's the guy that can make all the travel arrangements? You know, I mean, you really have to start looking at this as a business and less as art. You know, we can all sit there and admire a painting on the wall and say, yeah, I like that. That speaks to me, or it doesn't do anything to me. But for that artist to turn that into a career, he's got to think about business, where he's displaying, how he's selling his craft, how he's, you know, who's managing him, who's out there, you know, booking these exhibits or these events, you know, to sell their art. So
is that something that your company?
And every year I'm looking at replicating more and more of what we used to do with the majors. You know, what Indie Power is really a streamlined version of the old-fashioned MCA records, of old-fashioned Warner Brothers records or Capitol records or, you know, any number of these great, great labels. You know, I came up and was a part of launching, you know, the Interscopes or the Def Jams or the Islands or the Geffens or the A&Ms, you know. I was talking to one of my old artists today that was big in the 80s on A&M Records. And this was a label that Herb Albert started in his garage over in the Fairfax District in L.A. here, and took his little Tijuana Brass single, his little 45, and got on the radio and built this empire, which ultimately A&M Records was a massive company. They had Sting and the Police and Supertramp and Peter Frampton selling 30 million double live albums and all that. And, you know, they eventually sold for about $600 million to Universal. And
yeah,
just like A&M, Geffen, just like Island.
Old studio,
you know,
over there on Highland?
Is
that Highland or La Brea?
La Brea.
Yeah. Yeah, A&M.
That's the old Charlie Chaplin Studios they took over. That's where We Are the World was recorded, all of that great stuff.
Right, right.
So,
I was asking you something about your company, replicating what
the majors do on a streamlined way. So we look at these big conventions. I just got back from the Consumer Electronics Show, CES in Vegas, and we're going to the NAMM show, you know, next weekend. That's the National Association of Music Merchandisers. And then we'll be at South by Southwest in Austin in March, and we'll be at the Magic Show, which is the fashion convention in Vegas in late February. And, you know, it's important to take your brand and start trying to promote it at these venues where the industry is at. They come to the Grammys, but if you're just going to the Grammys to party or hobnob or be a groupie to try and hang out with Snoop Dogg or something, that's the wrong attitude. You want to go to some of these Grammy parties or events and try and let people know what's going on with your brand, what you have coming out, and really get involved in the business. You know, people ask me every year, you going to the Grammys, you going to the Oscars. To me, it's boring. Unless I had an artist that was up for an award and you can help celebrate with them,
exactly.
Why would you want to go and just, you know, watch all these other people win? I would rather be woodshedding it and preparing the next release and the next shot to maybe be on next year's Grammy, you know, award nominees. You know, so to me, this
usually
business was never about the glamour. You know, you see the red carpets and all that. That's less than 0.1% of the business. And to me, if you haven't really earned your way onto that award show, you know, stay away. Watch it on TV. But really plan and get better at what you do so maybe one year you can be recognized. But, you know, some of the greatest artists ever never won a Grammy.
Right.
So, you know, I'll never forget Sugarfoot from Ohio Players. I was worked with those guys over the years, and I was hanging out with him in the late 80s, and they were in town, and I said, hey, man, you going to the whatever it was. It was the BET Awards or the, you know, whatever, the Grammys. And he said, homie, I'm not into the awards, I'm into the rewards. He said, I want to get compensated for my talents. You know, and the records and the influence that Ohio Players had and the draw that he had to influence Larry Blackman, a cameo, and everybody that came after him, and Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre, and everybody to this day idolize his sound, his guitar. You know, this guy was smart. He put it in perfect perspective. He said, man, I don't even need to hang out with all those guys, you know, flossing and all that. I'm already somebody. I'm out there trying to get rewarded for my talents. And he put it succinctly.
I have a question for you, Jay. At what level, at what point do your company get involved with the artist? I know that a lot of the industry does not do artist development no more. And you mentioned earlier about the artists getting their business together, company structure, in order for them to even start working on their brand. Do you get involved with the company or the artist to help them at that point, or do they come to you when they have finished product?
Well, as long as they have finished product is usually when we can really get down, because, like I tell people, we don't run a studio, we're not producers. Yes, we can help you in that process. If you are really smart, you will have some kind of mentor or some type of advisor to make sure you're getting the best producer, you're getting the best studio deal, you're getting the best mixer and mastering guy. But typically, like I say, we're not involved so much on the production side. We provide the services, everything after the studio. A lot of people come ask me, they say, oh, do you have a studio? And I'm like, here, let me throw a rock. There's two studios next door. There's three on the end of the block. There's 14 down the street here, probably within a 5 square mile of where we are. I would say there's no less than easily 1,000 studios. So the last thing the world needs is another studio, but what they need is indie power. They need, once I got this music together, what do I do with it? How do I get it out? How do I work it? How do I beat the drum and get people to come to my shows? How do I, you know, take this thing overseas? How do I, you know, fly it up the flagpole and see if anybody wants to salute it? So, yes, we can advise really at any level, but where we shine and what we're really built for is once somebody has their product, their single or their EP. They got their album. You know, maybe they're getting off another company or another label, and they want to go out there and build the right systems, the right team. You know, so yes, we can help and advise really every step of the way, and we work with some of the best songwriters and producers in the business. But you know, why should I, get involved so much on that side when there's a lot of very talented, you know, studios and stuff that work with you? But I do think it's important to look at the full picture, you know, from really the start of the creation of the music to the end consumer and the end, you know, business push, really is all one, you know, one ecosystem. I mean, it's really one world. But by and large, where we shine is once they have their product and they're trying to figure out how can I maximize whatever resources I have to go out into this big marketplace and make some residual impact how do I get 100 fans that turn into 1,000 fans that turn into 10,000 fans, you know, how to really grow this step by step. You know, I always say there's a lot of people that want to be, they won't be at the Grammys. They want to be hobnobbing with their champagne, their gold chain and everything like they already made it, but they haven't even sold 100 copies yet. So really what the day after the Grammys, when they wake up with a hangover and realize they're no further ahead than when they started, they're just a few thousand dollars less being able to invest in their own career, that they're really chasing their own tail. They're really, you know, I call it the floor show. You know, you walk into an office, somebody got a fancy reception and a marble desk and all that. Usually they're going to be out of business in 6 months because they haven't really, you know, woodshedded and figured out how they're going to survive. I mean, I remember when Rick Rubin left Def Jam, the founder of Def Jam with Russell Simmons, the guy who signed LL Cool J, Public Enemy, who signed and launched the careers of, you know, Run DMC and Beastie Boys and everybody. When he came to L.A., he had a little tiny one-room office upstairs of a little building across the street from Geffen Records up there on Sunset, up past the Whiskey and the Roxy. And his whole thing was like, I don't need a big office. Geffen is my distributor. I'm making this music in studios really all over the country. It could be New York, could be Chicago or wherever. I just need an office with some phones and some people with the fire inside of them. They're going to pound these phones and tell the world about the Black Crowes and Andrew Dice Clay and Slayer and all these new groups he was coming out with. And fast forward a few years later, Rick Rubin is arguably one of the most influential, one of the most successful people in the entire world, the music business. Had a hand in Adele, which is the biggest song record of the last 10 years. Had a part of producing Grammy Award-winning records for the likes of Linkin Park and Red Hot Chili Peppers. And it goes on and on, you know. He discovered a lot of people. And so it's not really about the floor show. It's about what, you know, what's happening. So, you know, just because we want you to think of your business as your own label doesn't mean you have to have a fancy office and a secretary and all this. As long as you've got a business card and the phones work and you're ready for business and you got your best website you can put up there, yes, you can. You can operate from your bedroom or your living room or, you know, your kitchen or wherever that is, as long as your business is handled. You've got good distribution. You are investing in your own business, meaning getting a company like Indie Power to help promote you and market you and maximize, you know, what dollars you do have. I understand in this business, as any other business, when they give you an advance, it means they're taking something away. And in a record deal, as you well know, Lamont, the artist is the very, very, very last one to get paid, if ever. And usually it's never. In a major label deal, most, 99.9% of all major label deals, the artist never recoups and the artist never sees a royalty. They don't even know what a royalty check looks like. And you hear that today. Tyga and all these guys on Cash Money and whatever, they say, I've never even seen a royalty check. You know? So they use putting a record out as an excuse to go out and try and get show money. But, you know, if your record's selling a few hundred thousand copies independently, you could be very, very well off.
Right.
You know, you might not have the machine behind you, but when you really lift the lid on a record company, what is it? But after producing and writing a good song, all it is good distribution, good marketing and promotion, and a team that really believes in what they put out and goes out there and presents themselves and campaigns, you know, well. That's all a label is. Yeah, you got your accountant and your attorney, but that's really all a record label is. It's no giant, you know, fantasy factory that's got a, you know, a bunch of fairy dust and a magic wand, and whoever they hit, you're now rich and now you're famous and now it's all caviar and limousines. It's really, it's a business. Once you really realize it's a business, just like selling cars or shoes or upholstery or, you know, flowers on the street corner, then you're a lot further ahead. Because now you're thinking about growing your business as opposed to, well, who's going to sign me and give me a whole bunch of money up front? I mean, all these companies, from publishing companies to labels, not only have they got super selective, they're not looking for talent. They're looking for independent success stories. And every time,
exactly,
you know, a Tech Nine or a Macklemore or Mac Miller or a Hobson or one of these guys comes out and lights up the industry, they're there with their checkbook, like, man, we want to sign you. We want to write you a big seven-figure check. And these days, all these artists are laughing at them, like, man, where were you when I needed you? I already learned the business now. I don't even want a record deal. You know, Macklemore went from zero to being on the Forbes list last year, $40 million generated without a record deal. And while everybody wants to poke a hole in him, like, oh, well, he was distributed through Warner, or he's a white guy, or he probably had a rich uncle. No.
Right.
None of the effect. He had music that resonated with people. People loved his music. And then when they came to see him, man, a dude was like walking on hands through the crowd and hit after hit and blew up the stage. You know, it doesn't take a genius to figure out. It didn't matter if that dude was Asian or Mexican or whatever he was. I mean, he had great music that resonated with people, and he was smart enough to do a distribution deal through ADA, which, yes, is owned by Warner Music Group, but Warner wasn't an investor. They didn't even own 1% of the record. Sure, they got their distribution take, and being a smart guy, he got that down to like 10 or 12 points. But, you know, beyond that, He was poised for success, and, you know, it's so important these days. It's so easy to hate on the Internet and just, you know, try and rain on anybody else's parade that's actually successful. But, you know, once you create success, besides these record labels, there's a whole lot of brands that want to align with you. You know, Dr. Pepper or Pepsi or Coke may want to do a commercial with you. They may want to have you, you know, out there at halftime as part of the Farmers Insurance, you know, extravaganza, or, you know, State Farm, or whatever. There's a lot of brands that want to be around people that are popular. So, you know, understand, a lot of people come to us and they ask us if we book tours. Well, you and I both know the concert business is about popularity, not about talent. You know, Joe Blow running a club is not concerned about putting talent on stage. He wants a popular act where there's a packed place and the bar and the cash register's ringing.
Exactly.
That's what they're looking for. It's popularity. So too many people are too worried about, like, well, I'm a better rapper, or I can sing better than, you know, Beyonce. It doesn't matter. Beyonce's already proven. She's popular. You know, you hating on her just makes you look weak and desperate.
And they say desperate people do desperate things.
Yeah, and that's sad, you know.
Yeah.
And also, I think one other thing that's important is a lot of these artists today, they put their focus in too few areas. In other words, you want to build a well-rounded team, but they're so worried about, okay, well, I'm just going to become the king of Twitter, or I'm going to be the overlord of Instagram. Okay, well, you know, that's fine and dandy, but like I say, where's the hit songs? Where's the show? Where's your team? Where's the tour? You know, you got all these followers. What are they following? You know, you mooning the camera or doing a selfie with some celebrity you're stalking or what? I mean, it's really, there's no substance there to hang a career on. Again, when you think of this as a business, you need to build on business principles, like great content, you know, great distribution, great marketing, advertising, publicity, great exposure, and then great business minds. You know, as hard as some of these doors are to get open, sometimes they crack and they close as quickly as they cracked. So if you're not fully prepared, have your team in place, and when you knock on that door, know that it's probably not going to open every time you knock, but if it does open, you might have seconds to actually impress that person to make them open the door fully and invite you into a meeting. You know, they call it an elevator pitch because sometimes, you know, you might be, especially here in L.A. or New York, you might be getting on an elevator somewhere and you look over and it's like, damn, man, there's Jay-Z or Rihanna or there's Quincy Jones or there's, you know, this movie star. There's, you know, Donald Trump. They're going to make an impression on you within the first 10 seconds of you opening your mouth. And if you're just talking about something stupid, like, man, I want you to hear my CD. Hey, I rap. Can I rap for you? Or, you know, something stupid. They've already, more than likely, they got their security with them. They're already giving him the little eye, like, can you please keep this person away from me? Or you might have a golden moment where Donald Trump says, man, I'm going to give you 5 minutes. I like your style. I like what you had to say. I like how you present yourself. I'm going to give you 5 minutes to tell me why I should be in business with you. And that 5 minutes could be like an eternity. If you're prepared, you could give him your whole business plan and your breakdown of how you have built your business and how you're prepared right now for aligning yourself with a bigger backer or a financier or a bank or a brand that is looking for the exposure that you're already able to provide. You know, but again, if you're not prepared, he even if you try and stalk him and get his phone number and call his office every day for the rest of your life, you're probably not getting through.
And that's
true. We call them fleeting opportunities.
that's why I say if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready.
That's it.
Because
that's why I get in the office early, and I love what I do. I stay late because why some want to floss and be down at the club and trying to chat up the girls and act like they already made it. We already know, man. It's if you love the adventure, if you love the mission that you're on, the end result is just loving what you do. You're already successful by that. You're not measured by the watch you wear or the car that the bank owns, but you're driving or. You know, the money you really can't afford, but you're spending at the club to try and impress the girl at the end of the table. The life is not really measured by any of that. It's measured by people loving what they do, surrounded by other people that love what they do, all working in harmony for a common goal. I've seen huge things. I was a part of the team with Rough House Records, and there was 5 people on the team, and we ended up selling tens of millions of albums by the Fugees and Lauryn Hill and Wyclef and Chris Cross and Cypress Hill and all these artists. And the label was only 5 people. I was also there when, Delicious Vinyl started. And they broke Tone Loc and Young MC. And they were on the top of the charts and selling millions. And there were 3 people in the company. And they were working out of the back of a Thai restaurant down on Melrose, you know. So, but then again, they never had a hit after that. So as much as it is to learn from successes, you also want to learn from the failures. Why did the first 2 records Delicious Vinyl put out become classics? They're still played to this day. Wild Thing by Tone Loc, Funky Cold Medina, and Young MC, Bust a Move. Why are we still listening to those records? And for the next 25 years after that, they didn't come up with 1 other record you ever heard of. So it's as important to learn from, you know, failures and mistakes out there. You know, even Donald Trump went bankrupt a few times before he was successful. So any of these, it's not... If you're in the real business and you're taking risks and you're investing in yourself, it's not a failure to lose at something if you learn from it and you're stronger for it. Because there's no baseball player that had a hit every time at bat. There's no basketball player that won every game they went out and played. You know, there's no football player who's, you know, got into the Super Bowl every year they play. So don't worry about what people think about you. Really stay focused on what you do best. And eventually, really only your fans is all that matters. The people that aren't your fans really don't matter, you know, because if they're not backing you, and it is easy to hate on people on the Internet, hey, it's really not any concern of yours. Because if even you got a small fan base, and we talk about people like Joe Bonamassa, I do conventions, I say, how many people in the room know who Joe Bonamassa is? And it's almost like crickets most of the time. Every year a few more people know about him. And I say, well, what if I told you Joe Bonamassa made more in record royalties last year than, you know, Katy Perry, Rihanna, and Justin Bieber put together? Now all of a sudden you see everybody get their phone out and they're starting Googling, how do you spell that last name? You know, they want to know, who the hell is Joe Bonamassa? Because all those big artists like Katy Perry, they spend so many tens of millions of dollars to break them, they never recoup. They never see a record royalty, but they go out there and tour and do commercials and merchandising, and that's where Rihanna makes her money, and that's where Justin Bieber makes his money and everything. They don't make it on record royalties. You know, but Joe Bonamassa, a guy you never heard of, little blues rock guy, he made over $22 million last year. And he's not famous in the TMZ sense of the world, but he's rich as hell, and he does what he wants, and he tours the world and does sold-out shows in over 20 countries. And he can go to dinner anywhere he wants and not have TMZ hiding in the bushes as he comes out.
Right.
He's a lot more profitable than Chris Brown, I'll put it that way.
And that's really what it's about, to do what you enjoy doing, have the resources and the security to do what you want to do and enjoy your life. I think that you don't get no better than that.
Man, that is success to me. Success to me is not how much money you got in your pocket or, you know, what you're wearing. Sure, you want to look good. You want to feel good. But if anyone ever ran into Jimmy Iovine, you know, years back before they knew what he looked like on American Idol, or ran into Richard Branson before, you know, he was known on TV, you wouldn't see a guy who was, you know, all blinged out. You know, Jimmy had his little baseball cap on, his little polo shirt on, and some jeans. You know, Richard Branson, same thing. Probably a loose-fitting shirt and some jeans. And, you know, we talk about that at IES, which is the Indy Summit, the event we do every August out here, is some of the heavyweights in the room that you should really be knowing, like a Violet Brown or a Steve Lobel or Brian Shafton. If you're a rapper, you're walking down the street, you probably wouldn't look twice about them. But if,
right.
if you saw Corrupt getting out of a car or B-Real coming down the street or Busy Bone coming out of a store, you'd lose your mind. You'd be all over them. Man, Busy, check out my CD. Man, I'm dope. I rap, you know. These are not the guys that can put you on. These are guys that are still trying to figure out how to keep their career relevant and profitable.
Exactly. And what do
you
know, have to offer?
It's the Violet Brown, the little white lady, or Steve Lobel, this bald-headed dude, you know, coming down the street, or Brian Shafton. These are the kind of guys that are making the careers of the Tech Nines and the E-40s and the Bone Thugs and the Sean Kingstons and everything. Those are the guys you should be, you know, impressed by and really wanting to meet.
But that's, again, that's somebody that hasn't taken the time to do the research to find out who's who.
Exactly. If I could give out our website, I'd appreciate it.
Oh, definitely. And before you do that, Jay, I mean, I know you sent over a couple songs of the artists you're working with.
Yeah, I know we're going to have Q&A about to join us, but if anybody wants to find out more about Indie Power, it's real simple. It's spelled INDIE, Indie Power, POWER.com. And phone number and everything is right there on the site, IndiePower.com. Or the event I just spoke about, IES, which stands for the Indie Entertainment Summit. It's all indie-based, all very vibrant knowledge and showcasing and everything. And that's IES Fest, short for festival. So that's IESFEST.com. And again, phone number, and, you know, you definitely want to make your way to L.A. for the summer. That happens every August. This is our fourth year going on our fifth, which is a milestone in this business. And we used to have Jack the Rappers and BREs and Urban Networks and all these, and they're all gone because the major labels are no longer footing the bill and cutting checks to them. But ours is really based on helping people grow, so it'll live forever. But, yeah, if you want to bring Q&A, one of our clients and artists on the phone, I believe he's probably there.
Let me see. No, I don't see him. He's not
okay.
there.
Okay. Well, he should be joining us in a couple minutes. But, yeah, you do have a couple songs. I don't know if you want to go into the first song or wait for him to talk. But Q&A is spelled Q-U-E space and then Q&A. He's an artist originally from New York City. He is a hip-hop artist. He now lives in Texas. He lives in Austin, Texas, the home of South by Southwest and so many great, great companies and stuff down there. And he's about to move out here to Las Vegas. And, you know, he performed at IES last year. He's a tremendously gifted artist. He's got a head on his shoulders. You know, we talk about business principles and, you know, building your team. I mean, you can tell when this guy gets on stage, he's Jay-Z, he's Jeezy, he's the man. He's 2 Chainz and everybody wrapped up in one. But when he's off the stage, he's articulate, he's got a business mind on him, and he's really thinking about how to, you know, grow in this business that he loves. Matter of fact, his new EP, which comes out February 2nd, is called For Love of Game, you know, or Love of the Game. I'm sorry. Love of the Game is the full title. We kind of shortened it. Love of the Game
right.
is his EP, and that comes out 222015.
Right. Well, let's go and let our listeners put their ears on this one, and he can catch up with us. Don't Hurt Me by Q&A.
Yes, Q-U-E-Q-N-A.
You do realize that when I want something I don't have, I can still take it, man. I hope that won't be a problem for you.
So sweet, if I ever get the chance, if you let me, man, I'm a chill. That's all she ever say to me. That's all she ever say. Sweet like Nestle, the way she dance, got the man in my pants, like that's all she ever say, man. That's all she ever say.
I need you in my condo. Pronto like Tonto. Now the Indian, but you Pocahontas. Fuck the king, I Pocahontas. That's about me, my smoke the finest. That's about me, my stroke the finest. My word and my ball dog, I don't break, that's what the finest. Lace with the shit when it come to rhyming. Lace with the shit when it come to grinding. Hot kids, mature pool, it's called the rule, don't break the hymen. I just wanna find a nice spot to slide. Show me that good girl, what you hiding? My certified, you can't deny. You an ass girl, why try to hide it?
Suit all my guest list. Do you like it fast? Do you like it slow? Like music in Texas? You say think you're a bad girl, well, you need detention. Take a shot of that and take a bump of this. It'll magnify your senses. This is your warning. No way to prevent this. When with the big need, you'll be addicted. You'll need intervention. Not to mention when you throw it at me, I swing both the fences. And I laid it down for the third round, and I still had attention.
If I ever get a chance, if you let me, man, I'ma kill it. That's all she ever say to me. That's all she ever say. We like that speed, the way she dance, got the man in my pants, like a thing, man, I'ma kill it. That's all she ever say to me. That's all she ever say.
This is your man, J.R. Perry, from Love Drops. Yeah, I'm keeping it locked every Wednesday at I Am Indie, where you get your smooth urban hip-hop, independent music, baby. From 2 p.m., hosted by my man, K.D., putting it down. I Am Indie. Check it out.
Yeah, we're back with my man Jay Wasinski, Indie Power. Jay, let me see if your artist is with
yeah,
us.
Yeah, Q should be on the phone.
You on yeah, the yeah, phone? How you doing? What's going on?
What's up?
Welcome, welcome. It's Q&A.
Yeah.
We just got through playing your joint, man. Was feeling that.
That's what's up, man. I appreciate that. I appreciate the love, man, and everybody checking it out and taking time to tune in. And shout out to Indie Power as well, man, for having me here.
Right.
Well, it's our pleasure to be working with an artist like Q. Like I say, having worked with many, many artists over 40 years, you know, you can tell who gets it, you know, who really is preparing themselves for, you know, growing, you know, step by step, brick by brick, show by show, city by city, and those that just want to get to the end zone and they don't even want to play the game.
Right.
So Lamont,
right.
All we've been talking about, he exemplifies, you know, a great indie artist that is learning. We never stop learning, but he's really on a great course. And his EP, like I say, comes out February 2nd, and that's Love of the Game.
Right.
Yeah.
Definitely, man. You definitely got a great sound, man, and I wish you much luck out there. And I know you're going to do a work, especially working with Jay. He knows the business in and out. So if you're dealing with him, he's definitely going to keep you on the right path and let you know what you need to be doing to get to where you need to get.
Yeah, truthful.
Q, why don't you talk a little bit about, you know, your background, what kind of led you to want to do music and kind of to this path that's brought you here?
Yeah, man, yo, honestly, to tell you the truth, man, it's been one of those ups and down type of tracks and paths, but it's been a long, informative journey as far as getting to where I'm at, man. What started me with music, honestly, to tell you the truth, man, like, you really want to, like, the nitty-gritty of it, man. Like, I was always inclined with music since I was, like, you know, like a young little man. And I started out singing first, you know what I mean? And once I learned I could bag the ladies up with that, like, I was nonstop with it, you know what I mean? And then that kind of, like, led me to study into music. And then, you know, rap was something I was always intrigued in, being that my uncle was, like, a DJ in New York for, like, I don't know how many years, and still DJs now, DJ Tom. So it was a rap battle. We was on the street. It was, like, outside of school, out of the gymnasium, and somebody was beating on a trash can. Like, we used to get it popping wherever. You know what I mean? Somebody was beating on a trash can, and we started freestyling and whatnot. And everybody knew that I was, you know, musically inclined. So, of course, they pushed me up to the forefront. He was like, yo, put a star on Q. And, you know, when it came down to ciphering and stuff like that, I was all in love with the entire situation. It was never like, you know, I'm going to try and tear you apart just for the sake of tearing you apart. If I had a reason to battle you, I would. And when I stepped up to the cipher, like, the first thing he said to me was an insult, man. He was like, you know, I already got an album now, this, and that, and the third. And that changed the whole game for me right then and there. Like, right then that second, I felt like I needed to tear him a new one just because of what he said. You know what I mean? Because we could have been cordial with it, and you took it to a whole other place. That was just love for me. So from then, I kind of dedicated myself to just learning how to do it, man. Like, and the joy in the craft of it, man, because, you know, when you start off, you can, you know, when you're really freestyling, you can only really hold, like, 4 to 6 bars continuously at a time, you know what I mean? And if anybody ever really freestyles, they know that. And as you go along, you start realizing you can hold 8 bars, you can hold 12 bars, and 16, and you can start rapping for 2 minutes straight, you know? So it was just like a national pastime of ours, man. We just, whenever we hear a beat or anybody start beatboxing, we would just start rapping right then and there, man. So that was one of the first things that really got me into hip hop, man.
Wow.
True story.
So somebody else, man, is out there listening to the show, man. What would you tell them the first thing they need to do to get into this game? Some of the things maybe that you didn't do that you should have done. What would you tell them to do so, you know, help them do a little better?
Right. Well, inadvertently, I actually had a background in music. Like, I was in music classes. And I didn't understand how those music classes would actually help me in the future to arrange music. You know what I mean? So, like, knowing the structure of music, how to build songs the correct way, and, you know, your bars and your measures and your 16s, and how to orchestrate a whole body, a real song. I would tell people to study music, man. Like, it can do nothing but help you. You learn a lot of the successful people out there that actually have a background in music. Actually know more than just putting words on some paper. They know, you know, the chorus, the preamble, the hook, crescendo, decrescendo. Like, they actually know music, like real music.
Right.
And learn music, man. Learn music. Because once you get the basics, you'll understand how to manipulate and how to make the beat malleable to you. You know, if you don't know the basics, you can only make those 3/16 in a hook. And, I mean, that's cool, too, but, you know, if you want to really express yourself, you're going to want to learn different ways to get outside of that box, and you have to know music in order to do that. So,
man, I already had respect for you, but I got mad respect for you now, because what I just heard you say, you learn the rules before you try to play the game, and that's what a lot of people don't do. You know, that's what they don't do. So we already know it's going to happen for you, man. And again, man, much love and respect to you. Jay, we got like 3 minutes left on the show, man. I'd like to take them home with Drink and Dro.
Well, no question. And in closing, I just say that what his passion is to the music is his passion to this indie business world, because rather than sitting there expecting these big companies to just, you know, write checks and fall over, he's bringing and building something to the table that naturally companies and fans are going to want to be a part of. So he's got patience, he's got dedication, he's got longevity. And you hear it in the music, and thank you so much, Lamont, for giving us this platform. And again, Q&A, Love of the Game, comes out 2/2/2015. That's February 2nd.
I'd like to invite you back whenever, you know, you and Jay have some time. I'd like to invite you back when there's a little bit more time on the show and we could really, really chop it up. So hook it up, Jay.
We'll do a whole hour with him.
Yeah, right, no problem. Man. Whenever you guys are ready, just let me know and I'm here for you guys, man.
All right. This is Drank
and Dro. Thanks, Lamont.
All right. Drank and Dro, Q&A, Jay Watkins. So y'all put your ear on this one. Hey Diddy!
Right. Hey Sonny, man.
Well,
that's me,
back.
RWB, man. I'm rolling.
Yeah, I be on that drink, and I be on that drop. And you can't see my pupils, cause my eyes half closed. You know I get it started from the motherfucker dope. They ask me what is on, tell them niggas, you know. Yo, I be on that drink, and I be on that drop. And you can't see my pupils, cause my eyes half low. Yo, I gave him the drink, and I gave him the drop. And if them niggas, yo, just tell them you don't know. You don't know. Hey, I be on that drink, and I be on that drone. Hey, you can't see my people, cause my eyes half low. I passed him the drink, and I gave him the drone. If them niggas ask, yo, just tell them you don't know.
see my pupils cause my eyes half low. Yo, I gave him the drink and I gave him the drug. And if them niggas ask, yo, just tell them you don't know. You don't
hey, I be on that drink and I be on that drug. And you can't see my pupils cause my eyes half low. I passed him the drink and I gave him the drug. And if them niggas ask, yo, just tell them you don't know.
I'm in my zone tonight and couldn't tell you if I'm coming back. Drunk off my ass, my nigga caught me as I fell back. Drunk mind speak facts and plus I'm on that lean, bitch. So when I say get 'em, that's exactly what I mean, bitch. My niggas never backing down. Plus I'm on that crazy shit, they got my niggas acting out. They say that I lost it and it's messing with my thinking. They say whatever you drinking, just make sure that you can take it. Yeah, I'm faded. And they tell me that the alcohol was talking. I said, oh, that shit was stalking cause my nigga stuck on balling. So it's best you keep it walking cause this shit does happen often. Where you start talking that shit and become a part of the falling. Yeah, I lost it. Nickel is something that I'm used to. It shows y'all all the reason why not the fuck with a trooper me. I be on that drink and I be on that drug. And if they ask you about me, yo, just tell them you don't know.
I be on that drink and I be on that drug. And you can't see my people cause my eyes half closed. You know I get it started from the motherfucking door. They ask me what is on, tell them niggas you don't know.
Yo, I be on that drink and I be on that drug. And you can't see my people cause my eyes half low. Yo, I gave him the drink and I gave him the drug. And if them niggas ask, yo, just tell them you don't know.
Yo, hey, I be on that drink and I be on that drug. And you can't see my people cause my eyes half low. I passed him the drink and I gave him the drug.